the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morena Troy, how are you?
Great, how are you?
I'm good. I'm going to hit this one immediately because it's long and I want to get as much of it in as we can.
Hit it.
All right, what are we listening to here?
Well, Giles Peterson has a radio show on the BBC, and for one of his shows in 2018, he decided that he was going to book a day at Maida Vale 4 and get a bunch of people he liked in and was going to record all the music for this particular show.
Awesome.
Which went down as a classic.
That's super cool. He's really good at setting up stuff like that, Giles Peterson. I mean, he's an amazing DJ in his own right, but I always feel like he has great ideas and follows through on them and has the weight of the BBC to really execute it too.
Guy has taste as well.
He does.
So this is a double LP on Brownswood made up of those recordings from Maida Vale 4. It's called Giles Peterson Presents MV4.
Nice.
Now, who are the people? Well, predominantly, you'll find it's Joe Armon-Jones and his band. Joe Armon-Jones from Ezra Collective, from his own thing. Joe Armon-Jones, who at Southbound we say, for a scruffy-looking hippie, plays some tidy keyboards.
This is true.
And there's a couple of tunes also on there from a group out of Bristol who I was unfamiliar with until this.
What is their name?
They are called the they're called the Ishmael Ensemble.
Okay. No, I'm not familiar with them either.
So, I don't know if you'll know the answer to this question, Troy, but on the cover here we've got a number of drawn-on faces. Are those all the people that feature on the record?
They are all of the people on the record, yeah.
I'm going to count.
Count. So what we're hearing now, there you go, there's Joe, the scruffy-looking hippie, playing some excellent piano.
Excellent piano.
This tune here is with, you'll hear her doing a solo in a second, the great Nubia Garcia.
She's awesome.
17 people on this record.
Nice.
Is there a picture of Giles as well, though?
There's something... There's something pretty special about things that are recorded at Maida Vale. They have a bit of, they've got that kind of like, yeah, the magic of the BBC in there as well. But it sounds like a really awesome place. A friend of mine went there once and he was telling me about it. And he's like, it's like a labyrinth. You walk around and there'll be like in one room, just an orchestra, a full orchestra practicing. Then in the next room, you can see someone's like pre-recording some interesting show with someone who looks like probably a professor of something or other. It's just like a labyrinth of all these different spaces.
So can you just go in?
Or no, no, no. He was there for a you know, official reason. Bless you.
You can't just go in, no.
No. He was. That's why we were like, what's Maida Vale like? What's it like?
Yeah.
This is a very cool cover, actually. It's got a picture of Maida Vale.
It does.
On the front.
So what are the other tracks on this like?
Well, it's funny because you would think that since Joe Armon-Jones is sort of nominally the leader on all of these tunes, that they would reflect a lot of him. They don't. It's well, they do, but it's there's different shades through everything with like adding whoever on each track. There's two tracks that Joe did on his debut album. Almost Went Too Far, and what's the opening track?
Starting Today.
Starting Today.
Featuring Asheba.
Asheba, who's also on the album version, but otherwise you get, it's a really wide thing, and it sounds like the breadth of Giles' program.
Cool.
Ah, okay, cool.
So we've got, we have got Joe Armon-Jones.
On everything, just about.
Yeah, on everything, basically, except for the Ishmael Ensemble track.
Correct.
Featuring Asheba, is that how you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Asheba. That's Starting Today. We've also got Oscar Jerome with Joe. Do You Really? Fatima with Joe, only. The track we're listening to now, which is Nubia Garcia. Hold is the name of this one. And Huck Baker and Joe Armon-Jones doing Thirsty Thursday. And then the Ishmael Ensemble. And then another solo Joe with Almost Went Too Far.
It's not actually a solo Joe, it's just his name there.
His name is the solo name on there.
Yeah.
He gets the rights.
So this is a really great record.
Who is drumming here?
This is... Oh my God, I've forgotten.
Great drummer.
I think it's one of the Colioso brothers, isn't it? Is it Femi Colioso?
Your guess is better than mine.
But also, listen to the sound of that room. Boy.
That's a big room.
It's a tall ceiling, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So this has been pressed this year.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was supposed to come out round about the time we had that virus thing happening.
Oh, yeah.
There's no bio.
That virus thing.
And we've been, as you know, I've been desperately, like, checking our deliveries every day to make sure that we're getting it soon.
Well, this is great.
Yeah, I like this.
And there he is. He's moved from the piano to his other keyboard there.
So this is a pretty special record. Get that live sound, curated very nicely. Bunch of really in the thick of it jazz musos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And much like Giles's idea behind the Shabaka curated We Out Here, it's really to me, I think that it's it really captures not just a moment, but a particular vibe,
cool.
which was happening in London and in Bristol, obviously, with Ishmael at the time. Pretty cool.
Very cool. Well, I'm going to sacrilegiously pull us into our next track now. We've still got 2.5 minutes on this song. Sorry to Nubia Garcia.
You should be sorry. Now, jump over the channel. In Paris in 1978, a record came out called Black Devil Disco Club.
Okay.
Now, it appeared on Aphex's Reflex label in the early 2000s, and everyone thought, okay, this is actually too good and too sort of out-sounding to it'll be one of those made-up things.
Yeah.
You know, I will pretend this is French from the 70s.
Yeah.
Turns out it actually was.
It actually is French from the 70s.
A guy called Bernard Lefebvre. Now, Bernard was a library music composer.
Cool.
And him and one of his buddies made the Black Devil Disco Club EP, or six-track album, and of course it basically did nothing and disappeared and then rediscovered. Now, since that reissue came out in the early 2000s, Bernard reactivated Black Devil, or Black Devil Disco Club, they're the same thing. And he's made, I think, well, I have three of them, but there's probably more.
Yeah. And so is he kind of one of those people are sort of only now kind of tapping onto
only
what
in the 2000s,
to.
Yeah.
Right, got
he started DJing, he started playing live then. And this, which it says on the album here that it is the final Black Devil album.
Ooh.
Who knows whether it is? Bernard is now 75 years old.
Nice.
But it's called 666. This album is called Lucifer is a Flower, and you think, what is all of this devilish nonsense? The explanation for that is simple. He said he was looking on Instagram one day, and there was a beautiful red flower that's name was Lucifer.
Oh, there
it
you
was
go.
So he was like, oh, well, if Lucifer's a flower, then this is what I'm going to make.
That's awesome. This has got a great cover, this one.
It is.
It's very black and red. Very graphic. There's one little photo on the front and one on the back, and I'm curious as to what they're about.
Well, those are pictures of Bernard in the growing up in the 1950s in Paris. Yeah.
Okay, because there's two very sort of dour looking aunties in that front one there.
Yeah, one might be mum, but I don't know.
And Bernard looking kind of
like a child
yeah. who doesn't really want to be having his picture taken. But the rest of the record is this awesome black and red, really graphic, very 70s kind of a vibe. It's very loungy.
I'm into it.
I'm really into it.
So the copy you're holding in your hand right there, you'll notice that one has a black obi strip. And the ones with the black obi strip have an extra 7-inch in there.
Ooh,
and
really?
They are bright red vinyl.
Oh, very cool. And what's the extra 7-inch? What's on that?
It's a remix of one of the tunes.
Cool.
One side by Bingo, one side by, I can't remember who the other one is by, sorry.
So this track,
yes.
Is this an old track that he's remastered, or is this new stuff he's
brand
making?
New. This is
he's
brand
75
new.
And he's making this stuff.
Correct,
this
yes.
is mean. This is very cool.
So it's there was a record he put out called 808 about 10 years ago, which was a slightly different style, I mean, this even is a slightly different style to Black Devil Disco Club, the first thing, although right. he did do a series of records that were totally in that style of the 78.
Yeah.
78 release.
Oh, so I've just seen it here. The bonus 7-inch vinyl single is an exclusive Creepshow remix.
Oh, that's the A-side.
Is not love.
Yes.
Ooh la la.
So Black Devil always super interesting and kind of fun. There's you know, despite the name of the act and despite the name of this record, it's a super fun sort of thing.
Yeah, this is super fun. Vocals pretty crack up.
Yeah,
it's great. It sounds great, but it's also quite funny, which I like.
And do you like the ooh spooky bits?
It's reminding me of something, and I can't quite place what it is.
Is it something continental as well?
Yeah, I think so. You know what? It kind of reminds me of that song that's kind of the title track, well, not the title track, but almost like the theme tune to the Grand Bellezza, that film. It sounds nothing like it, but I think that's what it's reminding me of.
Is it evocative in the same way?
Yeah, same kind of a dark disco night. This is awesome. So Black Devil Disco Club 666.
Yes.
I bet that sounds different in different accents as well.
I bet if someone was listening from overseas, they were probably like, thinking you said 666. Why are you talking about that?
What is this?
Staying sort of on disco, but a completely different approach. This here is Volume 8 of the Under the Influence compilation series. Under the Influence is on Z Records, which is Joey Negro.
Oh, okay.
It's his label. And there's a different curator for each one. In this instance, it is, who is it? What's his name, Bianchi?
Sorry.
What's the guy's name?
Woody.
Oh, Woody Bianchi, right. Yeah. So he's an Italian DJ now. But what we're hearing right now?
This is the Ipanema Brothers.
The Ipanema Brothers, who is in fact the great producer Patrick Adams.
Oh, okay.
So he made this in 77 or 78. It got a limited release, very limited. So it's a pretty unfamiliar thing to most people.
This is awesome.
I like a good yellow record.
Yeah, bright yellow. Great photo on the front.
It'll stand out in your
graffitied subway car is the image on the front here. Once again, we're seeing this image that always makes me think of Beyblades, which I know is not what it is.
it's a 45 adapter.
I know.
So, Patrick Adams, for those who need reminding, his name's usually associated now with disco, but he was the producer behind Black Ivory in the early 70s and produced the Log stuff. And in fact, he produced so much right up into Salt and Pepper.
Oh, did he do Salt and Pepper?
Yeah, and I think he even worked with Eric B. and Rakim. But
that's very cool.
In the early 70s, before he was known as the disco guy, he was like the go-to R&B guy. This was back when Quincy Jones was still doing like jazz fusion sort of stuff. That's who Patrick Adams, I was going to say was, but is. Dude's still alive, still doing stuff.
Good on you, Patrick Adams. So kind of artists we've got on this record.
Yeah.
Are they all sort of like forgotten gems, or are there some classics on here?
No, sort of in between those. Right. I think they're the kind of things that fans of like classic disco or crate digging are going to be familiar with some of these.
Right.
But, you know, what would be the point if you tap someone to do it under the influence and they put the most obvious things that are available everywhere, I'm guessing. But this series is really great.
This is cool, yeah.
Can I say something? I've just remembered I wanted to say this at the beginning. Today was probably the toughest one in so long of trying to pick things, because at Southbound we've been literally flooded by deliveries.
Really?
We have so much new release stuff and like restock stuff we haven't had for years.
That's so cool.
Our entire new release and reissue wall, everything, it's like there's too many to put up
so
there. So this was
everything's just arrived.
Yeah, Monday, Tuesday, we had deliveries every day. I've had about, I'm guessing about 28, 29 boxes.
That is far out. So exciting.
So it was super tough. I mean, we had to do the Giles Peterson one. Actually, the ones we chose, we kind of had to do, but we could have done about eight others, just as easy as that.
Also, it's a good time to pop into the shop.
Props to Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, this is really good. This makes me want to go. I'm not someone who's like ever really wanted to go on a cruise, but I imagine that this is what would be fun about being on a cruise. This kind of makes me feel like the idea of a cruise could be fun.
It would be, yeah, if it was in the 70s, probably.
In the 70s, yeah. Maybe not now in this corona climate anyway.
And I'm not sure about who the vocalists on this are, but I think they're from one of Patrick's groups called Mystique.
Okay.
I think it's them.
Troy, we've had a question about the Beyblades, the 45 adapters.
Yeah.
Nick said, why do 7-inch records have a bigger like centre hold than others?
They were originally done for jukeboxes.
Ah, okay.
So it was originally jukebox records where it were done like that. Why some records are made like that now it's kind of an aesthetic choice, I think, to make it look like those older ones. But the other reason, if they were being manufactured for not jukeboxes, mm-hmm. it was because that was the dies that were being used on the pressing plant. It was like, okay, well, we won't change over. We'll use these same dies on there and other ones with the large centre hole. But originally, specifically for jukeboxes.
Well, there you go. So this is the Ipanema Brothers with Rio de Janeiro. This is the Woody Bianchi edit. Bianchi?
I think he's Bianchi.
Bianchi?
He
Woody
probably
Bianchi.
Thinks he's something different.
Sorry to Woody. I will
we
Google
it. We are ignorant.
It.
That's okay.
This is Under the Influence, Volume 8. What else did you bring us this morning, Troy?
Right before that is the supposedly the final album from the fantastic... Black Devil or Black Devil Disco Club, Lucifer is a Flower. There's two versions, one that's red and has an extra 7-inch and one that is black, the Black Devil.
Like my soul.
Yes, not like mine, like my coffee. Brownswood up first, live from the BBC Maida Vale, Giles Peterson presents MV4, which is special recordings done in 2018 by Joe Armand-Jones, Oscar Jerome, Fatima Nubai Garcia, Huck Baker, Ishmael Ensemble, and a whole bunch of other of the London crew.
Fantastic. Three beautiful records. We'll see you in the shop.
You will.
See you then.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.